And so, with the cup held high, me the leave Croke Park, All-Ireland football champions for 1949.
Oh, beautiful me, you got all that I need.
Dempsey hits Darren Fay. Anthony Finnerty comes in and gives him a touch of the elbow. Colm Coyle hitting Finnerty. This is Colm's first punt. Finnerty, delayed reaction, looks around, sees Martin O'Connell coming in and thinks that the best action is to go down.
What a set of matches we've had. Four terrific and memorable games. Final score, Meath 2-10, Dublin 15.
So Joe McDonagh, GAA president, presents Sam Maguire to Graham Geraghty and Meath are the football champions.
Hello, listeners. You're very welcome to another edition of the We Are Meath podcast with Davey Rispin and Michael Brennan. Only one place to start this week, Davey. I suppose it's all come to an end eventually. The last few weeks really have been painful for you, and at least you're out of your pain now. Arsenal have handed the title to Man City. Man City didn't even have to kick a ball in earnest for the last week and a half because Arsenal just did their best to hand them the Premiership.
Yeah, but at least someone kept them honest for 30 odd weeks of the season, you know.
It would have
been a very boring season if they didn't, Mickey.
Every cloud, Davey, huh?
Yeah.
Every cloud, yeah. Oh, look. It's over now. You can get back to normal. It's the hope that kills you, though, isn't it?
I'm still, upon reflection, I'm delighted. I think Arsenal have been out of the Champions League for 7 or 8 years, so I can't wait. I can't hopefully get over to a game. I've never been at a Champions League game before, so that'll be on my bucket list for next season.
Oh, very good, very good. That'll be interesting, all right. So, will you lose many players in the summer?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, no.
No? No, there's rumours already about one or two, but sure, we'll just have to see.
No.
So we will, what happens. But Davey is quite tight-faced there at the moment. He's like, no, nothing's happening. No, we're fine, we're fine. But anyways, let's talk about a sport that we know a little bit about. Soccer, we know a fair bit about, but you know, it's not our one true love, and GAA is in fact our true love. So let's start off, I suppose, with the hurlers, Davey, booking their place in the Christy Ring final away to Sligo at the weekend. Meath 24 points, Sligo 18, and once again, do you hear me?
There's
the throwback. There's, for some of our listeners, you'll have to Google him. But it was, in fact, Jack Regan who shot the lights out once again with 10 points. But our man that we've been waxing lyrical about on a weekly basis, at full forward, Eamon O'Donoghue, we said it last week, always pops up with 3 or 4 points, did it again today or at the weekend. Hitting 4 points, and the usual lads chipping in with their scores to give them a final tally of 28. Again, brilliant, brilliant stuff from Saoirse Bulfin's men.
Oh, incredible, Mickey. Like, it's 52 points scored in their last two games. No goals, but 52 points, which is absolutely awesome shooting. Like, to put it into perspective, it's on average a point just under every 3 minutes of play over the last two games, which is outstanding going. And as you put quite rightly said, Jaxie's been a juggernaut throughout the course of the season for me. I suppose the late start for him has actually helped. You know, the fact that he wasn't flogged in the league and he had a lot of injury issues and that, and he's been kind of allowed a little bit of time to get himself right, and he's playing exceptional hurling at the moment. Eamon O'Donoghue, his customary 4 points, as you said, Mickey, and then a variety of other scorers too. I love the way in which this Meath team are managing games. They're not going for goals. They're just chipping over points. They're just beating teams with a little bit to spare in the way in which I'm sure Shorsh is content for them to do so. And they've booked their final with relative ease after that little bit of a hiccup that we talked about over in London. It's been really impressive the last few weeks from them. And they're not there yet. We know they're in the final now, and they have to go and win that, obviously, to get back up into Joe McDonagh. But it's been a terrific season today.
It's kind of, when you're saying, you know, that they just chip away at that scoreboard, it's death by a thousand cuts on a regular basis by these lads. You know, they love to torture teams. let's just say. And, you know, one of these days they are going to bang in a load of goals and have a game that's well and truly beyond any team. But again, they just never look like they're going to lose, Davey. There's a real calmness about them.
Yeah, there is. And listen, there's a bit of depth to the squad. There's a bit of experience there. And I think their strength and depth and also their conditioning is probably what's standing them in good stead in these games. Because if you look at it, actually, in a lot of the games, it's quite tight in the first half. They might even be only a point or two up or a point or two down in some instances at half time. But in the second half, they're turning the screw. They've got a bench now with the likes of Murray, Gannon, O'Sullivan. Sean Quigley was on it there at the weekend. Like those sort of players come on and influence it and really kick the whole thing on. And that's what stood them in really good stead throughout the course of the year. And yeah, let's hope that it can do so one more time.
We were saying about Eamon O'Donoghue's customary 4 points. I suppose Nicky Potterton and Pa Ryan as well. You know, with Pa Ryan at midfield chipping in with his customary 2 points as well a game. Like he always seems to get on the score sheet as well.
Pa Ryan's been a revelation, to be fair. Yeah. But, you know, he's really, really good in there. He had a bit of an injury towards the end of the league, but he's been one of Meath's most consistent players through the year. And he's just bedded in seamlessly into that middle third for Meath. Terrific attitude, really nice guy as well off the pitch, and delighted for him. Delighted for Nicky Potterton actually as well, who was shooting the lights out. You'll remember back to the league. Then he got injured and he probably took a few weeks to get himself back up to the level in which he was at prior to that. But he's playing exceptionally well too. And Martin Healy, a word for him, he's probably one of the unsung heroes, but he's after getting 4 points across his last two games, all from play, again in that middle third, complimenting Pa Ryan brilliantly well. And it's just a well-oiled Mead machine at the moment.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. And as we said, they've booked their spot in the Christy Ring final. It'll be played in 2 weeks' time on the Saturday, and it's going to be against Derry. It's Saturday the 3rd of June, and it's going to be in Croke Park at 5 p.m. That's an interesting one because we will be coming back to that in a few minutes' time. In fact, we'll be coming back to it straight away because Meath beat Waterford as well in the football on Saturday evening in Fraher Field down there in Dungarvan. Meath 317, Waterford 114. We have a full review of this over in our Loyal Royals podcast coming out this week with interviews with Colm O'Rourke and Dundery's Sean Brennan, who has kind of put his name in as main goalkeeper for Meath at the moment. But what a win for Colm O'Rourke's men. Didn't look like it was going to be an easy task at halftime. More of the same. 9 points to one goal and four at halftime. But once again, Meath turning on the style in the second half and running out comfortable 9-point winners. Probably will be disappointed at what they conceded though to Waterford in 114.
They will, Mickey, because that's the biggest score Waterford have put up this year across league and championship.
I'd say it's the biggest score they've put up in a long, long time, Davey.
Yeah, and it could have been more. Not to be too downbeat about it, but had it not been for Sean Brennan's heroics in the first half, they certainly could have had at least 3 goals. They cut Meath open time and time again in that first half. Meath were really, really open. It was something that we've seen from them on various different occasions this year, and probably were fortunate to be 2 points up. But as you say, they put it right in the second half. Not trying to make excuses for them, but it was an incredibly long day. They were out in Cortown, as you know, at the fundraiser at 9:30 Saturday morning. Then they got, I think, a bus down. They checked into their hotel. They watched a bit of the match, the Mayo game. They kind of walked up to the ground 6:30 throwing. It was a long day. Like, you're talking 12 hours from basically when they first met up that day to when they walked away from Dungarvan and back to the hotel. And possibly, you know, that mental fatigue maybe took its toll in the first half, and it took me the while to get into the game. But when they did, you could clearly see the difference in strength and conditioning between the sides, and Meade's panel really told, and their forwards in particular were exceptional. And one of the big things that I pull from it, Mickey, is the clinical edge that we've shown. Only one wide kicked. You think back to the league, how many wides we kicked within games and how wasteful we were in front of the posts. That seems to be coming good, and I'd be very impressed with the return that our forwards are producing at the moment.
Only one wide over the course of the game, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it came in the 67th minute through Sean Coffey, who was again really, really good. But that's some stat, to be fair.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. But as we said, we will have a full review over on our Loyal Royals podcast with Colm O'Rourke's interview and with Sean Brennan's interview. And we also have on our Loyal Royals podcast this week over on Patreon / We Are Meath, the match day diary from the trip to Waterford to Dungarvan. And we want to thank Shane Riley and Joe McWeeny for both of their contributions across the day. It was absolutely brilliant to see some of the supporters joining in with our match day diary and joining the We Are Meath family, I suppose, Davey.
Very well put, Mickey. You don't get it wrong, to be fair, with the music. Is sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but the music is always fairly on point.
Yeah, well, do head on over there. You get the match day diary and thank the lads, Shane and Joe, for their contributions. And as we said, we put it out on social media. Anybody who's going to any of the games, be it the hurling, be it the football, be it the ladies, be it the minors, be it the camogues, whatever it is you're going to watch, send us some voice notes. We'll add them into the podcast. If it's a match day diary, we'll add them into that. And if not, we'll add them into the We Are Meath podcast. So don't be afraid to get in contact with us and send us a voice note. It just adds a little bit of spice to it. And yeah, we want to thank Shane and Joe for giving up their little bit of time to record those pieces on Saturday evening.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davey, we'll move on now to the Miners. And the Miners had a fantastic win down in Wexford last Tuesday evening, if I'm not mistaken. 3-14 to Wexford's 1-11. Now, it didn't look like it was going to be a Meath win at half-time. But by God, did they come good in the second half, Davey.
They did, Mickey. 1-8 to 4 points down at half time. It looked bleak. I was listening to the game. It sounded bleak. I'm sure it probably was bleak.
I only got to listen to the first half because it was training at 8 o'clock.
Yeah,
so
well,
I only got to listen to the first half, and I was like going out in the training field, going, "Oh no, Jesus! I hope they can do something in the second half." But I wasn't expecting that when I came back in.
Unbelievable, to be fair. A second half that yielded 3 goals and 10 points. I mean, who would have seen it coming? But fairness to them, they obviously had stern words amongst themselves, I'm sure, at halftime, and they put it right. They were level 15 minutes into the second half. Cormac Ligon got Meade's opening goal. And from then on, Meade outscored the home side 2-4 to a point, which was mightily impressive. Keane Commons and Michael McIver got the other 2 goals for Meade. And it's a terrific win and stand them in real good stead. Because in fairness to Wexford, they put an awful lot into that first half. I'm sure you were listening to, and they were coming off the back of a terrific victory the week before. And maybe that's probably what caught Meade in that first half. The fact that Meade had a break and Wexford were coming into it with real positive momentum, but credit to Meade, they finished so strong and won it well in the end. Andrew Gormley and Commons in particular, I think, were two of the players that really stood out for Meade. And it's a great win, sets them up well for the semi-final, but they'll need a more complete performance in the semi-final because they won't get away with that sort of lackluster first half again.
Yeah, you mentioned Keane Commons with a goal. He finished with 1-4. Michael McIver got a goal. Cormac Ligon got a goal, as you said. And then Andrew Gormley, another man that you mentioned, ended up with 6 points, three of them from frees. But and Ben Corkery come on to hit a point who was sensational in the early parts of that minor Leinster Minor Championship. But absolutely brilliant. We're delighted for Stephen and the lads. And their Leinster semi-final will be played on Wednesday night of this week in Hawkfield in the Kildare Centre of Excellence. So look out on MeGAA for the time and for tickets for that one. Absolutely brilliant. We'd love to see them going on. And just shows you, Davey, there is a conveyor belt of really good footballers in Meath at the moment. And, you know, I even have that minor team of last year being down as a really good minor team. Just didn't get things right in the early part of the Leinster Championship. Went into that B Championship and blew it away. So, you know, there is a steady high-end footballer coming through at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just brilliant to see them carrying on. Like, I think it bodes well, certainly, for the future, but in the near future, I suppose, this is a great opportunity for this Meath team to put their own stamp on it, really, and try and replicate the success that we've had at this grade in recent years, shall we say. So, positive, very positive, and it's a completely new pool of players, this, that maybe the Meath supporters aren't that familiar with. And, you know, Wednesday night, I'd encourage an awful lot of Meath supporters to try and get up to Newbridge to support this support this team, because it's they're certainly ploughing their own furrow at the moment.
Yeah, they really are. And just on a side note on that, Davey, I was talking to a man today who year on year would be speaking to one of the guys from DCU who looks after the scholarships in DCU. Right. And he would have an awful lot of knowledge of what's going on in every county in the country, this guy who does the scholarships in Dublin. And he looks into the development and the development squads and what's going on in the different counties. And he said to this guy that I was talking to that Meath have it nailed at the moment, above all teams in the country. The way that they're doing their development squads is probably at the highest level, and that they're keeping the most amount of players involved after we say they go out of under 17 and go to 19. Now, obviously, this has only come in the last couple of years, but even to go through the age groups, he reckons that Meath have the best pathway at the moment for players with all the continuity and everything. He says in most other counties where they have a good development setup, there's a lot of argy-bargy, let's say. There's a lot of lads that are pulling against each other and trying to do different things. He reckons that in Meath, that it's absolutely A1 and it's only a matter of time for it to come true. Now, he's not a Meath man. He's this guy who looks after the scholarships in DCU. He just was telling this guy I know as it is. So that bodes well for the future, so it does. And just when we're talking about these minors and the development that they're getting at the moment, absolutely brilliant. We're looking forward to that semi-final on Wednesday night. We will be doing a full review after that semi-final. Davey is making his way down to Hawkfield in Kildare Centre of Excellence on Wednesday evening, and we'll have a full review of that on maybe Thursday morning for our Loyal Royal listeners. There's going to be a whole host of Loyal Royals podcast going out this week. Moving on to fixtures then, Davey. We've already talked about the minors, but we mentioned the Hurlers Christy Ring final being played on June the 3rd on the Saturday evening at 5 o'clock. Well, the Meath Footballers final group game in the Tawchy Cup is against Down, and it has been fixed for none other than Parnell Park at 1 p.m. on the same day. So Meath supporters getting a chance to go up and support Meath footballers at 1 o'clock in Parnell Park, and they can make their way over then to Crow Park for the Christy Ring final. I think it's brilliant. I think it's really good common sense by the GAA. We don't get to say that too often.
No, we don't. And I feared when they were both on the same day, when I heard that whisper, I says, here we go again. We're going to have to pick and choose, but it's a double header of sorts, really, for Meath supporters, isn't it? Yeah. Like, I think you can go and enjoy the football. You could probably get a bite to eat in between and then nosy on down to Croker for hopefully what would be a big double header, and then maybe back to Trim and hopefully celebrate a Christy Ring final success that night. So it's brilliant. It really, really is. And I think it's given Meath supporters every opportunity to get to both games and hopefully support the Hurlers after, you know, the footballers, fingers crossed, get a great win against Down. And terrific, really.
Yeah, and Don Logue will be delighted as well, you know, that the hurling is getting preference in Croke Park as well. He's not
overly fond of these second tier or third tier competitions now. So, you know,
these Grand National have been runs or whatever he calls them. Or, yeah.
No, he didn't say that, Mickey. He didn't say
that. Oh, yeah. I'm misquoting him. If I'm going to quote him, he'll come back to me with a question anyway. But yeah, what I don't know. The hurling snobbery for. Do any of them care about the Laurie Maher, the Christy Ring, or the Joe McDonough, or is it just the Munster Championship that they're worried about?
It's a great championship. I won't lie to you, Mickey. But yeah, to them, yeah, I don't think there's anything after that. Like, I think for all the, I watched the two games and they're absolutely brilliant. But the best game of the weekend was actually in the Leinster Hurling Championship between Wexford and Westmeath. So
yeah,
one of the biggest upsets or comebacks, if you will, in GA history.
And it wasn't live on telly.
No, or GA Go, I don't think, was it?
Absolute disgrace, anyway, so it is. But yeah, look, we want to wish the hurlers and Colm the very best luck. And that's in 2 weeks' time on the 3rd of June. Best in Matters coming up this weekend, though, Davey. The Camogues are out in the intermediate, the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship on Saturday. Their game is going to be in Trim, and it will be against Laois, the first of their games. They also will have to play Westmeath, Kerry as well in that group. So a group of four teams in group three of the Intermediate Championship. So big game, big test for me in Trim on Saturday at 5 p.m.
It is, and I think it's a tough-looking group. You want to hit the ground running. It's a home game for Meath as well, and the pressure will be on Brendan Skehan and his side. But listen, they've had a very decent campaign today, have to say. Like, they had a great league campaign. Unlucky to lose the final to Kerry, who they're going to play again, of course. And then battled hard against Dublin in the Leinster, obviously a big gulf in class between the sides. But I don't think they'll get overly bogged down about it. This is the competition that ultimately they want to go and win. But a lot is going to depend on how they get on against Laois at the weekend, because I really do think a win is of paramount importance to just absolutely settle them in and get things moving.
Yeah, absolutely. In a group of four, three games, your first game at home and your next two against Kerry and Westmeath are away. But I remember listening to Skehan's interview after the league final against Kerry, and he was so positive about where this team were at the moment. I'm sure they're going to be going into this championship really in fine form. And have we any news on some of the players that we were thinking might be coming back into the panel, or have we heard anything on that, Davey?
No, we haven't. And look, I would have expected to see them maybe against Dublin if they were going to. But I'm sure it's safe to say if we don't see them this weekend, then we could just assume that they're not going to be part of the plans for this year. But listen, the squad that's there is very equipped to go and get success, and we've seen them, you know, threatening that already this season. So whether or not they do have players back, I don't think it'll derail them too much.
Yeah, I think they've gained enough experience throughout that league campaign going on to Croke Park that, you know, who knows. But it would be great for the panel if there was a few of them girls back involved, even if they don't play, just to bring their personas and their experience around the training field would be great for them. Moving on, that's the ladies at the Camogues on Saturday. And on Sunday, the Leinster Senior Ladies Final will be played in O'Muir Park in Port Laois. Throw in is 4:15 p.m. It's Meath against the Sneaky Dubs, Davey.
Yeah, again. Listen, this is a huge opportunity for Davey Nelson's side. They've probably looked for a result all year that's kind of going to give them lift off. They've came close against Dublin, actually, on a couple of different occasions, but this is the time to do it now. Like, you're pretty much on the eve of the championship starting. I think in a Leinster Championship final, it's the one medal or trophy that's eluded Meath up to now. They're going to go into it as underdogs, but they'll take great heart from the fact that they probably should have got something against Dublin in the group stage meeting, not playing at all well. They've got players back in. They've got game time into them over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Orla Lally played her first game against Laois a couple of weeks ago. She'll come on for that. And I do think this is set up for me. They really, really do. They like Port Laois. They're back there as well. And I just think this is a huge opportunity for Davy Nelson and his side. I really, really do.
Yeah, massive, massive opportunity. And great to see that Meath have been competitive throughout the year without a lot of players. All the players are back now. Davy Nelson has a full hand to pick from. Emma Troy obviously is not there. She's probably the biggest, the only big, big name that's not there at the minute. But there's plenty of backup for Emma. I know she's a different class and the whole lot. But I think Davy is set up, as you said, for this Leinster Championship final tilt. And yeah, there's no reason why the girls can't go on and give it a massive one. And this could set up the All-Ireland Championship for them. But best luck to Davy and the girls in O'Muir Park, Portlaoise, on Sunday at 4:15 when they take on the Sneaky Dubs.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne & Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne & Sons. If you need any more information on the Automower, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Davy, before we move on to our lottos and our Instagram interactive, Waterston have been in contact with you.
They have, Mickey. They've got a very special book launch this Friday night. It's the 26th of May in the clubhouse. It's for two Walterstown and MGA legends who are, of course, Pat and Paddy Reynolds. And they're currently inviting everybody to the launch of their new book, The Reynolds Family Memoir. Brought to you by Hero Books, the event will be a special evening of reminiscing of past glories as to celebrate two great all-star Meath Gaels and regale their remarkable football and family stories. Master of ceremonies on the night will be LMFM's Brendan Cummins, while former Meath manager Sean Boylan will also be a guest speaker. Of course, the event couldn't happen without Pat and Paddy's former teammates, and they are delighted to welcome members of the 1967 Meath All-Ireland Football Championship winning side, as well as members from the 87 and 88 All-Ireland winning Meath teams, which Pat was involved as a selector under Sean Boylan. Paddy tasted All-Ireland glory, of course, in 96 and 99, and they will also look forward to welcoming members of those respective teams on the night as well. The Reynolds family are donating their royalties from the sale of the book to the Meath Football Development Fund. So be sure to get to the clubhouse on Friday, May 26th at 7:30 for this very special evening. All are welcome to attend.
Brilliant stuff. I remember I was talking to Colm Coyle recently after one of the under-20 games, and I likened Sean Leonard to Paddy Reynolds. And Colm says, no, Sean Leonard can play football.
Brilliant.
Which I thought was brilliant. It's just a typical Coyler response, so it was. But Paddy Reynolds, what a player, what a legend. And Pat as well. So yeah, get out there this Friday to the clubhouse, to the Waterston clubhouse. I'm sure it's going to be a brilliant, brilliant event there as they launch their book. The Reynolds Family Memoirs. I think that's what it's called. Am I right, Davey?
Yeah, spot on. Yeah.
So, do get on out there for that one. Time for the lottos, Davey. Have your GA PROs been in contact with you? I've had a few, as usual.
Yeah, sure. We better start with Walter Sound. Sure, why not? They're in demand at the moment. The numbers from last week for them were 8, 10, 15 and 22. They had no winner of their 6,700 euro jackpot, but they had one match three winner who was Alethea Cummins, and she collects 100 euro. The next draw is now open and the jackpot is worth 6,800 euro. You can play online via Club4, so you can pick up an envelope in Curran's Texaco Garage in the Dublin Road or O'Brien's Bar and Restaurant in Johnstown. Thank you to all that played and supported our club. The weekly lotto is our main source of income and all monies raised go straight into the run of the clubs at all level. We really appreciate your support. Menalty from Sunday night, the 21st of May, a 10,800 euro jackpot, 1, 8, 9 and 12 the numbers. No jackpot winner, three match three winners, each receiving 70 euro, were Laura O'Rourke, Peter Rogers and Anita Keeley, or Kylie, sorry. The special online prize of 50 euro goes to Anthony Barry. And next week's draw takes place on Sunday. And they've got a lovely 11,000 euro on offer. But it's not near as nice as the next one, which is Carton GFC, Mickey. Biggest in the county, by the way.
Yeah. Is it? You haven't mentioned that yet.
No. I'll do it a little bit more, though, if you want. Last Friday night, we had a 14,300 euro jackpot on offer. The numbers drawn were 4, 21, 27 and 29. There were no winners. We had 10 20 euro winners who were Caroline Casterly, Gillian Carey, Paddy Tully, Marcus Manning, Damien Farley, Nora Riley, Eleanor Byrne, Eileen Bruton, Mary Hart and Paula McKenna. We go again on Friday night where we have 14,400 euro at cortinga.com/lotto. Gail Colum Kill from last week, the 18th of May, 8, 11, 19 and 21, the numbers. 4,650 euro of a jackpot, not one. They had a couple of match three winners who share 150 euro between them. Hugh Early, Mark Goodman, Niall Lynch and Simon Cahill. They have 4,800 euro up for grabs this week. Their neighbours, Kilmainham, just in the Navan Road. Results from the 15th of May. No jackpot winner, and next week's jackpot will roll on to 7,300 euro. The numbers from last week were 4, 8, 10, 16. They had five lucky dip winners who were Joe Carpenter, John Griffin, Johnny Nelson, Michelle Nelson, and Tom Monaghan. Navan O'Matney's from last week, the numbers they had were 1, 2, 22, and 25. No jackpot winner. Match three winners were Jerry Murray and Margaret O'Reilly. Next draw takes place on the 24th of May, which is Wednesday night, and they've got 10,100 euro on offer there. I think the final one, Mickey, from my list, I think the final one from my list for this week is Manalvi GFC, and their results from last Monday night, the 15th of May, 6, 24, 25, and 26, the numbers. No jackpot winner. 320 euro winners were Barry Walsh, John Corcoran, and Rachel McCormick. The next draw takes place tonight, Monday, 22nd of May, where they have 2,900 euro at manalvigfc.ie, or you can play it on the Club Force app.
Perfect. Davey Sentences Lotto last week was not won. The numbers drawn were 9, 20, 22, and 23. 5 25 euro winners were Beatrice McDonough, Sandra Bond, Collins family. Don't know if that's Colin, his family, or the Collins family. I'm guessing it's the Collins family. Brendan O'Reilly and Aidan Lawler. Next week's jackpot is a massive 3,600 euro, and that takes place, if I'm not mistaken, tonight, Monday, unless they've changed to Tuesdays. We will have a look through and see. Kilmainham Woods lotto last week was not won. Numbers drawn were 6, 9, 11, 24. The five lucky dip winners each received 20 euro were Shauna Barber online, Shane Russell online, Agnes Clark, care of Clark's Bar, Amy and Jack Gargan of Tier Worker, and Mia McKeown, care of Murta's Bar. So the bars sell a lot of the lottos out there in Kilmainham Wood. Next week's lotto is 4,600 euro. So get on that one. It's next draw for Mead Down Tip on Monday, hashtag Mead Down Tip on Monday the 22nd. I do love their hashtags, although the last week I wasn't able to even see the bloody thing because I was dying with a hangover. Simonson's Lotto was not won last Friday the 19th. It was 3,000 euro. The match three winners were Audrey Fox, on her own. 5, 6, 11, and 25. Next week's lotto was €3,050, and it's on Friday the 26th, followed up by a message from Jelly. I do apologise for not sending you the lottos the last 2 weeks. And in other news, I'm on the town. So the Beryl Jelly getting in his little plug for Dundalk, as he usually does. But not impressed with him the last couple of weeks. I shouldn't have read that one out, Davey, maybe, because he didn't send me the lotto results the last 2 weeks, and I had to go and look for them.
Disappointing, that.
Davey, we'll move on.
He's got a big injury list for Cortown, though, to be fair, at the minute, so cut him some slack, will you?
No kidding. He's rubbing us up the wrong way out there. I said that before. anyways, time to move on to our Instagram interactive, Davey.
Yeah, Shane Riley, who was obviously one of our contributors on the Matchday Diary, has been in touch. And Shane has said, Conor Gray, one for the future, great footballer. He said, Aaron Lynch and Matt Costlow, outstanding in Dungarvan.
Yeah, the full forward line hit 213 between them, which was absolutely brilliant.
And not a wide between them either.
And not a wide between them, right. 213 out of 317 is not too bad. And yeah, no wides. Delighted for Aaron Lynch. Like, Matty Costello has proven that he's a county footballer. Like, we know that. But for Aaron Lynch, 2 weeks in a row to be playing so well, we know he's a confidence player. I think this is the beginning of something special.
Yeah, Reese McGuire thinks so too. He said Aaron Lynch, very good yesterday. Our first half was fairly shaky though.
Yeah, well, you were there to see it, Davey, in the flesh. It's funny, I've been talking to a few lads, obviously Cavan are in the Talking Cup as well and whatever, and I've been looking at the halftime scores in most of the Talking Cup games, and most of the games are tight at halftime, and one team seems to pull away in the second half because there's been some huge beatings in the Talking Cup. But in fairness, most teams are keeping it tight until halftime, David.
Yeah, but I think just on that, I think there is definitely an element of strength and conditioning there. Do you know, and Mead and Cavan, we'll say, and Offaly and Down, say, for example, are kind of three or four of the more advanced teams in that respect compared to the Division 4 sides, who maybe don't have that same level, but they also don't have the depth in their squad that, say, a Mead team do. And also the fact that they're putting so much into the first half. Like, no disrespect, but for Waterford, for me to come down to Dungarvan, that is a huge game for them. They're obviously going to put everything into it for as long as they possibly can, but gradually they're just fading out of the contest, and that level of fitness that maybe a Mead team has, they just can't match it over a 70-minute period, and I think that's conducive to what's happening between halves.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is some... Two teams you didn't mention in there, Antrim.
And Fermanagh.
Antrim and Fermanagh, to, like, I know you're throwing Offaly in there. I don't see what you're basing that on, though.
I have to think back to the Leinster Championship.
Yeah, we were absolutely muck.
I know, but they should have beat Louth then the game after, to be fair.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Yeah, it went to extra time, I suppose. But yeah. Okay. You've probably added a couple of teams in there that I probably wouldn't have had in the shakeup.
Lucky to be working. We'll skim over this one fairly quickly. He said, imagine being an Arsenal supporter, or Hams. The only thing I could think of worse than being an Arsenal supporter at the minute is being lucky to be working after a night out or something and waking up. Imagine that sort of fear. But
you can swim along on your own there, Davey.
No bother. High and Rush says, Sean Brennan, the new goalkeeper. Hashtag Mead for Tolton.
Yeah, look, we know we've got it for a change, I suppose, or for something different over the last 10, 15 years of Mead. We have a plethora of really good goalkeepers, and Sean Brennan was given a chance, and he's really taken the bull by the horns, and has kind of put himself in there. It's going to take something to knock him out of that position now, I would say, Davey.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said to Colm last week after the Tipperary game, possession is 9/10 of the law, and Sean Brennan has made the most of his opportunity, and it wouldn't be fair to drop him now.
Yeah.
Like, after what he's done. So credit to him.
O'Reilly Oakstown Environmental, manufacturers and installers of domestic and commercial wastewater treatment systems, large capacity precast concrete tanks and retaining walls.
Supplying you since 1972, O'Reilly Oakstown provide a full design, manufacture and installation service on their comprehensive environmental precast concrete range. Please visit their website at www.oreillyoakstown.com.
Have you barely the patience to listen to a 30-second ad? Well then, at Husqvarna, we can't imagine how you put up with having to manually mow your lawn. Instead, kick back and silently say goodbye to hours wasted manually mowing your lawn, replacing it with the near-silent cutting of a Husqvarna auto mower. Smart home compatible, and if that isn't your cup of tea, control auto mower from your phone. Auto mower also brings new meaning to green fingers, producing no direct emissions. If we've caught your ear, contact PR Coyne and Sons, your authorised auto mower dealer on 046 955 1910 or in store in Clonard County Meath.
Hi, Kevin Coyne here from PR Coyne and Sons. If you need any more information on the Automore, feel free to call into us here in Clonard County Meath.
Jack Walsh said Drogheda United picking up all 3 points in Talla Stadium.
All 3 points in Talla Stadium. Well, it's not just fantastic for them, so it is.
Yeah, big 3 points for them.
Big 3 points for them, yeah, absolutely.
Where are we now? Joe McQueenie said, first time in a long time we scored all of our dead balls. Yeah, that's another one that we haven't mentioned.
Okay, we'll be talking about that over on the Loyal Royals podcast, but who was on the freeze?
It was Matty Costello and Aaron Lynch. They were both very, very good, obviously, from them.
It's like, we've spoken, like, had me the free taker over the last, not this year, we'll say, but in Andy's reign, had we got a consistent free taker, Meath probably would have been in Division 1 a couple more times.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe even would have had a case for staying there the year they got there.
Possibly. Yeah, absolutely. They lost what? They lost 3 games by a point. The most they lost a game by was 4 points, I think, that year.
Yeah.
That was to Dublin in the last round.
Yeah, in the first round, I think that is stinker, wasn't it, against Tyrone? Up and over.
Oh, yeah.
Catherine Cook says, taking too long to get into games, won't get away with that against Down.
Yeah, but again, that's something we just kind of touched on there a few minutes ago. There's a lot of feeling out in those first opening exchanges. I suppose the only thing about that is that Meade were cut open numerous times in that first half, and Sean Brennan came to the rescue. So maybe there's a point there that Down will take those scores and take those opportunities. So, it is something that has stood out. And it's not just in the Tadhg Cup. This has been all year.
Yeah. Flexprint.ie said Lynchy and Jordy linking up well. Costello on flying form.
Yeah, look, you were there in the flesh. Aaron Lynch seems to bring the best out of Jordy.
Yeah, like Lynchy had 5 points in the first half. I think Matt had 3, possibly maybe 4. And Jordy was really quiet actually in the first half. He had 2 into the keeper's hands, but in the second half he was lethal. I think he got a goal and 2, got a mark, took his penalty really well. He was fouled for it himself. Great to see that sort of dynamic, because I think we haven't had a free scoring full forward line in a long time in Meath, and it's just positive. And it's nice to see Matthew Costello playing deeper, or sorry, closer to goals as well at the moment too. It seems to be working. Like, one of his points was a long ball by Donald Kogan. It was a real agricultural route, one ball in. He won it, fisted over the bar. Do you know, it was nice to see that. It was sort of like a throwback, but he gives you that sort of dynamic in there as well.
Yeah, 100%.
PS Tapes said, Arsenal bottling it against Forest and ruining my Haaland triple captain plan. Yeah, of course, City didn't, as you touched on, didn't need that against Chelsea, so they decided to put out the reserves. Still beat Chelsea, by the way, with the reserves. But for PS Tapes, your triple captain Haaland was left to rue that decision.
Yeah, does your captain not change to another player?
Well, he came on.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
And it's double game week. So whether, I can't imagine they'll start a midweek. Now, maybe they will, but you never know.
Yeah.
Sean Fitzgerald says Beanie Faulkner with the winner in the Leinster Junior Cup final for Trim. Yeah, incredible scenes.
Eight men.
And they conceded a 94th minute penalty through the aforementioned Sean Fitzgerald, because Beanie Faulkner, the goal scoring hero for Trim Celtic, has been in touch to say Sean Fitz decided to do a hand of God in the 96th minute of a Leinster final and give a penalty away, but he was bailed out. I think it was by Gilston, was it? The Cavan man, was he in goals or was it Aaron?
Is he in goals for Trim? I don't think he's in goals for Trim, is he?
Possibly not.
He's over St. Michael's ladies football team.
He is, that's right, yeah. Now, maybe it's the Bull Ryan then. I don't know, was I dreaming of that?
The whole thing about the hand of God, you're supposed to do that up the other end of the field.
Yeah, I don't think this is the first time Fitzy's done it either, to be honest with you. Sorry, you know what? It was Conor Gilston.
It was Conor Gilston that was in goals. Yeah. Ah, Conor's a great lad. I love Gilly. Mad as a brush. Great lad.
They all are them Trim lads, to be honest.
Well, he's not Trim. He's Bailyborough.
Well, sorry, the Trim Celtic lads. Sorry, none of them are from Trim.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But Gilly is a great lad. I'd be regularly in contact with Conor. I didn't realise he was in goals. If I'd known that, I would have went over to play a bit of soccer with Trim.
you would have been decent for minding the corner flag as a souvenir. You want to go in ahead of Beanie Faulkner, Cartel's finest. Deck F. Dunn says, can unfortunately see Down taking us apart in 2 weeks. Come on, Deck. Always very positive about things.
Yeah. What do you say about that? look, Down are not the finished article either themselves. You know, the one thing I noticed with them this year is that they are taking the Tailteann Cup way more serious than they did last year. Now, they are gone ahead of us in the Tailteann Cup table, but only on score difference. And it's not much of a score difference, to be honest with you. And they have plus 29, we have plus 20. We've scored 4 more points than them, but we've conceded 13 more points than they have. So I do think that this will be a tight game. I don't see them tearing us apart now, to be honest with you.
Billy Flynn said Walsh Scully injury update. Morris Lynch forward line potential with Costello O'Connor on the 40. And other injury updates, Caulfield, O'Connor, Campion, Scully, and Shane Walsh again. We need Walsh back. Yeah, I couldn't argue with him. O'Rourke did give me an update on Walsh and Scully, which you'll get over on the Loyal Royals podcast.
What about Caulfield?
Didn't ask him, actually, to be honest. Hopefully he's back soon, because it's a great opportunity for him to get some game time like the other.
Who was the other under 20 player that he said was close to getting a run first round or last round?
John O'Regan, yeah. He got on.
Was it John O'Regan? Was he injured as well for the first? Yeah, he was. Oh, yeah, John
O'Regan. Our own.
No, it was John O'Regan and Caulfield. He said they had impressed in the training in the lead up to the Tipperary game, but just I think both of them took up niggles. But John O'Regan, yeah, which is great to see the under 20s are being brought in. Somebody mentioned there Conor Gray, somebody who you waxed lyrical about when throughout the under 20s championship. I was talking about Jack Kinlock, you were talking about Conor Gray, and you thought that he was primed and ready for senior football, and he hasn't put a foot wrong since going in there.
No, absolutely. It's been brilliant. I think we've dished out, what have we? Have we dished out double figure debutants in the first two games of the Tailteann Cup? Which is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Just what I would love to see now is Colm starting to get a settled team.
I agree.
I'd love to see 13 players that play 3 games in a row, maybe. And obviously with injuries and stuff like that, you're always going to have 1 or 2. But I would like to see a little bit of consistency in the picking of the team. I was talking to somebody about that who would be in the know. And they were saying it's very, that can be very disjointed and can be very difficult for players to get used to each other as well, and to know the style of play. And once that consistency of team formation and the players, it nearly becomes second nature. You know where a player is going to automatically be, you know, that kind of way. So yeah. That's all I'd like to see at the moment.
Finally, from Mickey Burke, the Honey Badger, he just said, Waterford, lads, Waterford. settle with an X at the end. Dampen the expectations.
Yeah, no, look, he's just saying it's Waterford, it's Waterford. And I agree. I'm on Mickey's side on this one. And I do, I'm worried that we're going to start running away with ourselves again. And whatever, like Down will be a test. And we'll know a little bit more about this Meath team after Down. I would love to see Meath winning the Tailteann Cup. I'm not sure if we can. When you look at all the other settled sides out there, experienced sides that are going to be in the latter stages of the Tailteann Cup, the likes of your Cavans, your Fermanagh's, even your Antrim, like again, they are well organised teams that have all been playing together for a number of years. You know, there wasn't much fluctuation in their panels, and so yeah, I'm just afraid that we might start losing the run of ourselves.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I would. I haven't seen anything to convince me that Meath are Tailteann contenders yet. Yes. Now, if they go and beat Down and put in a performance, then absolutely they turn into contenders because, you know, they've beaten one of the so-called big hitters. So
yeah, but you have to back that up.
Let's see where it takes us.
Yeah. Like if you do beat Down, you have to back that up at a quarterfinal. And then you start to say, okay, there's a little bit of consistency coming. But we are still a bit inconsistent. So what I'm liking is that we seem to be getting better week on week. For instance, like I'm disappointed with what we conceded to Waterford. 114 is a huge score for Waterford to put up. But as you said, the wides count, one. Many drop shorts? No, it was definitely two.
It was definitely two, yeah, in the first half. Yeah.
In the first half and whatever. The free taking, nailed all of them. They're the things that I want to see coming together. And then the rest of it will all come together as well.
Yeah, that's it for Instagram Interactive this week.
Is that it? Well, again, just to remind our listeners, we have a whole host of Loyal Royals pods coming to you this week. We've had the Match Day Diary from Waterford, Davey Risman, Shane Riley and Joe McWeeney all on that one. It was a brilliant one, so do head on over and you'll catch that. We'll have the All County Football League review, preview and predictions pod. We have the review of Meath and Waterford with Colm O'Rourke and Sean Brennan from Dundry after the game. And we'll have the Miners Leinster semi-final review against Kildare. That will be out later in the week on Thursday morning. So do stay tuned to We Are Meath for all of those podcasts. Well, look, that's it from this episode of your We Are Meath podcast. Remember, We Are Meath, why it matters more.